Well, good morning, everyone. Isn't it great to see so many more bodies up front here? More voices, more presence. It's just really good to see this more of a choir, more of a sense of the music. It's just wonderful. I was complimenting the guitar player. I just love listening to the guitar while it's being played during worship. So this is this is a real privilege for me. Once again, Aubrey's taking a little rest. As Alexander would say, you know, we're kind of coming to the end of the church year, going into Advent, kind of marks the beginning of the year, so Aubrey wanted to have some rest. But the neat thing now is we've got this camera set up, and now they're going to be uploading right to YouTube a little bit later. So rather than Aubrey having to come in and do two or three recordings of the week, now they're uploading everything, which is just absolutely brilliant. So it really makes it more of a sense of connection, doesn't it? With people that are online tuning in, they can actually feel like they're part of it now, because now they're feeling everything that you guys are experiencing and feeling here, which is just absolutely wonderful. And I know that later on, Aubrey's going to be checking this out, so I'm hoping when they trim things down and upload it to YouTube, they don't eliminate this. I just thought we could take a moment, and just by a round of applause, just show our appreciation to Aubrey for all his service, for what he does, how he, I mean, I just know this man. I've met with him, he is so committed and loves his congregation so much. So can we just take a moment and just in appreciation, yeah. All right, so I did that because I know that they'll put that in there for sure, because I know that Aubrey will want to see that and hear that, and I know that it's going to mean a lot to him. And we're really excited that those of you who are connecting online are able to see exactly what's going on inside. And so I just wanted to make one more announcement that's going to embarrass my wife, but she had a birthday this month as well. And she's 39 plus a couple years of experience. But I just wanted to just acknowledge my wife has also had a birthday this month. Any other November babies in the house? Oh, we got another one here. Another one over here. Another one there. So we got lots around. So happy birthday to all our November babies. And I know that you're all just 39, maybe not even quite 39. I'm not quite sure. But that just seems to be a good round age to stick with. So welcome, everyone who's here, and welcome to those who are joining us online. It's exciting that you've connected in here. I'm really, once again, just really proud of this church for taking the initiative to set up YouTube, to upload things. I know that some of us here, well, most of us here, at one point or another, had to experience just a YouTube connection, didn't we? That was just our source of connection, our source of community. And just having those videos uploaded is such an important part. And in light of what we've gone through in this last couple of years, we can be thankful for technology, can't we? We had our first grandchild born during this whole COVID season, and so it was video calls and video breakfasts and video chats all the time with her for the first year of her life. And so I'm thankful and, you know, really grateful for the technology that keeps us connected. So it's even greater now that we're making one more step to making this all live. And so I just want to acknowledge that. So I just want to read a scripture verse for us this morning. And I apologize, I know I've, you know, filled in a couple of times. I'll get the hang of getting things over to people so that everything is up on screen, but you can extend some grace and forgiveness to me for not having it posted online. So you'll just have to trust my reading, trust that I am actually reading from a Bible and not doing it. Here's a fun fact. How many words do you think are in the Bible? Any guesses? 100,000? 200,000? 300,000? We're getting closer. 755,000 is the average number in the Bible, depending on the translation. The original text was like hundreds of thousands of words. But on average, 755,000 words. So you can appreciate why Aubrey needs a little bit of time off. That's a lot of words to be sifting through week after week to come up with sermons and to teach and to preach out of. So, but 755,000. And what do you think is the most common word that's used throughout all of Scripture? God, that's a good guess. Very close. What's another name? Lord. Lord is used over 1,000 times. It's the most used word throughout all the Bible. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I mean, who doesn't like trivia, right? Everybody likes a little bit of trivia. But it just gives you an appreciation of what is poured into Scripture and what we need to really read through. So I'm just going to be using a few words. I'm not going to be reading all 755,000 words this morning. We'll just limit it to, you know, a couple hundred words. Is that okay with everybody? I just had to negotiate that with Aubrey. Yes, I got some applause over here on the side, and I'm sure I'm getting some applause at home. Although people watching at home, they can always, you know, take a break. They can put it on pause and just go grab a sandwich and come back and listen to some more, whereas here we can't, right? So we're just going to stick with just a couple of verses. And so I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. And it says this: the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat them with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you are a part of it. And that's really where I want to go today. I want to talk about our part in the body. Has anybody ever stubbed a toe? Right? You stub a toe, and it affects your whole body, doesn't it? If you've got a sore toe, you're limping a little bit, you're favoring that leg, and then you start to favor that leg, then it kind of goes up into the hips, and then it goes into the back, and then before you know it, you're hunched over. One part can affect everything. And so it's important that we realize that each one of us has a critical part in the body. But so often in the church, we can sometimes not feel welcome in the body, can't we? We can feel a place of disconnect. We feel like, oh, my gift isn't needed, or I'm not that valuable, I'm not that important. But if we look at Scripture, Scripture tells us that each and every one of us is here for a purpose and a reason, and we have something to contribute. I've shared and talked about that before as I've been in front of you sharing earlier, that we all have a part, that we all have something to contribute. And I honestly believe that. I don't believe that any of us are here by accident. I don't believe any of us should feel disconnected. Yet so often it happens in the church. And so I'm a practical guy. And I want to give us three practical things that we can use in the body here, and people can use that are watching online. We can use it in our community as well, not just here in the church. Let's think of a typical Sunday. Right now, we come in, we got some protocol in place, we got to get through security, we get through all the screening, and once we get in, what's the first thing that 90% of us do? We look for our favorite seat and sit down. Don't we? Be honest. Let's be honest. We're in church, we can be honest. Right? We look for our seat. As soon as we come in those doors and we get past the greeters and we say hellos, we're looking around to make sure and see if our favorite seat is still available. I remember once I sat in a church. I was there a little bit earlier, and I sat in this comfortable little place in the side there, and I was just kind of reading through the bulletin and just kind of catching up on what was happening in this church community that I was visiting. And all of a sudden, I just had this awareness that somebody was looking over. You ever had that feeling? Are you just sitting there, and you don't have to look up. You just know somebody's looking at you. And I looked up, and there was this elderly lady looking at me, just standing there looking down. I said, good morning. You're sitting in my seat. I beg your pardon? I didn't realize there's anybody sitting here. I didn't see a jacket. I didn't see anything. I didn't realize that. No, I always sit there. I said, well, I'm so sorry. So I got up and I obliged. I let her sit there. But it's so true, isn't it? When we come into a church or come into a place, we look for our favorite pew. Some of us like to be off to the right. Some of us to the left, a little bit forward, a little bit back, up in the balcony, right? We all look for that favorite place to be. The first thing I want to encourage us to do as we come in is I want to encourage you to look for one person that you've never talked to before. And I'm going to ask for a commitment. There's going to be a test at the end of this. But I'm going to ask for a commitment to at least acknowledge and talk to one person. Imagine a time that you went into a strange environment that you've never been into before. Didn't it mean the world to you that somebody acknowledged you and said hi? Can you imagine one of those moments and times? I think we all can. We can all picture a time that we went into a strange place, might be a new school class or a new work environment. It could be anything. But as we walk in, if somebody acknowledges us, it just makes us feel all of a sudden, okay, I'm not invisible. I am still here, right? And I think it's really important that we do that. And for those online that are watching this later on, even though you're not here in our community here, you can do it in the community at home. You can find that neighbor. Look for that neighbor that you haven't seen for a while. Look for that person that's passing by with their dog, and you know that they go by at a particular time. You know, make an excuse to be out front just to say hi, just to wave, do something. Or even if you're walking in your neighborhood, you know, and somebody's passing on the other side of the street, just stare at them until they look at you and just wave. Do something. I think just acknowledging people just lifts them up, doesn't it? Right? Just imagine that time where you felt awkward and uncomfortable going into a new place. Somebody acknowledge you. It just lifts you up. It just makes you feel valuable. And isn't that what we're looking for, especially in a church community? We're looking for that connection. We're looking to feel valued. You don't have to put up your hands, but by show of hands, if you feel comfortable doing that, how many are new and just here, maybe for the first time or the second time? You're just kind of out for the first, second time. No, everybody's been kind of around for a little while. I see a couple little hands going up over here and there. All right, that's wonderful. So I want to encourage each one of us to look around, look for a face you haven't seen before, and introduce yourself. And here's the next thing. We all need to give ourselves permission. We need to give other people permission to forget our name. How many have met a person and 5 seconds into the conversation, you forgot their name? Right? Be honest. That's right. I see a whole bunch of hands waving up there. So let's give each other permission. And let's extend forgiveness. If somebody has to ask your name two or three or seven times, you'll be okay with that. Would that be all right? Because that's how we get to know each other. That's how we get to know the true person. And after a while, it'll start to click. It'll start to register. It'll come automatic to us. All right? So that's the first thing that I want to encourage us. And even as strangers, oh, this is fun. Even as people just visiting a church or visiting a new place, I want to encourage you to be bold enough to step out and say, hi, I'm new here. My name's Charlie. You know, do something. I know it's hard, especially for us introverts. I know it's hard to believe, but I am an introvert. I'm very quiet. I'm a very shy person. But going into places, just extending and saying, you know what, I'm new here. I'm unfamiliar with what goes on and how things work. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is find the wallflowers. Anybody know what a wallflower is? Hey, most of us know that term. For those who don't know that term, a wallflower is that person that just kind of hangs off to the side or hides behind the pillars or does something, you know, to just kind of be out of view. They're feeling really uncomfortable, really feeling awkward. Look for those wallflowers. Because those wallflowers, it's harder for them to engage. It's harder for them to enter in, ask for directions, you know, even to the most you know, important thing, like where the bathroom is. So look for those wallflowers. And those wallflowers, oftentimes there's a good indication, right? They're the ones that are just kind of standing there going, you know, just kind of looking around. They're really not sure what direction to go, where to go, where to sit, how to do things. Go and make them feel like they're part of this body. Don't make them feel that they're severed off, disjointed part of the body. Make them feel like they're a part of it. So looking for those wallflowers can really encourage and bring them in. And here's the third thing. I want you to practice making the conversations about the other person. How many have been into a conversation where you've met somebody, you know, they introduce themselves to you, and then they just start telling you their life story, right? They tell you all their hurts, all my foot, all my boss, all my family, all my dog, all my, you know, they're telling you all kinds of stuff to make the whole visit, the whole conversation about them. I want to encourage you to make the conversation about that other person. When you get in there, resist telling them all your troubles and woes. That time will come. You'll have that opportunity. There was a man, his name is Zig Ziglar. How many have heard of Zig Ziglar? See a few hands going up. Zig Ziglar, he was, from back in the day, he was one of the earlier motivational type people to really encourage people in sales and training and how to be more confident, more influential, and so on. And he had an expression. And he said, help other people get as much as they can, and then you'll get what you want. Help others get what they want, and you'll get what you want. So what I'm saying that is, help other people feel welcome. Help them feel a part of the family. Help them feel encouraged. Help them feel like they're part of this place. Make it about their story. Finding out about them, who they are, what their hurts are, what their story is, what the journey is. You know, I was thinking about that through that worship song, the first song that we sang, just the journey. You know, for some of us, it's been a long journey to find the seats in the church. For others, it's been a short journey. You know, we've just kind of stepped in. Generation after generation has gone to church, and we continue to go to church. But for some of us, it's a long journey to get here. And so listening to their story, hearing their story, will make them feel comfortable. And again, for those that are going to be listening to this online later on, those are the ways you can do that. You can do all these things in your community as well. Talk to that neighbor that you haven't seen for a long time. Make that phone call. Talk over the fence, whatever you need to do. Maybe just dropping a note in their mailbox when nobody's around. There's lots of social distancing things that we can still do. I want to encourage us not to make this time and this season that we're going through an excuse for not extending love and grace to other people. Who would agree that right now, more than ever, we need to be reaching out and extending love and grace to other people? There's been so much isolation, so much separation, and so much distance, and it's starting to weigh on a lot of people. I'm seeing it more and more as I have conversations and talk with people. Just the anxiety and the stresses that are coming with all the new protocols, with all the new things, with the things you can't do and that you're not allowed to do, and all the different things, the elements that have been introduced into our lives. It's starting to weigh on people emotionally. Wouldn't it be great if we had a place where we could come like this? Because I have to be honest, there's not too many churches that would be doing this kind of thing. My wife and I were in leadership in one church for 19 years, and when we stepped out of leadership there, we stepped out of the church as well for a while, out of that church. Because they were forming a new leadership team, and as we show up occasionally on a Sunday, they would look at us expecting us to step in, and people were asking us questions, and we didn't think it was fair to the new leadership team to build and establish themselves if we kept injecting ourselves. So we took ourselves out of the equation. And so we went and we started visiting different churches. And I'll tell you, there are some horrendous churches around. We went to one in particular. We were met by this really nice, bubbly personality kind of person at the front door. And we thought, oh, this is going to be a great experience. That was the last interaction we had with a human being until we left again. We went inside and went into the sanctuary to go sit down, and there were just pockets of people standing all over the place talking, all inward facing. And we tried to make eye contact with people. There was just no making eye contact with them. And so we went, we sat down, and we're still trying to make eye contact with people. We're looking around, and everybody's just focused in, or they're talking to whoever they know. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, appears the pastor, and he does his preaching. They do the worship thing, and everybody's rah, 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 and excited and everything else. The pastor disappeared. Everybody stood up and started getting back into the circles again. We had to pardon ourselves, just excusing ourselves to get around people, to get out the door. And even when we came up and tapped them on the shoulder and said, excuse, can we get by? Because they're right in the aisles. They wouldn't even look at us. They just moved out of the way and allowed us to go by. And the only other interaction we had was that same person that greeted us on the way out. Thank you. I hope you really felt welcome here. I hope you had a great time. And we're like, not. Like, it was just the most horrendous. We actually joked about starting a business called the Secret Sunday Church Shopper. Right? They've got secret shoppers that go around into businesses, right? Businesses will hire people to come in and just pose as a customer. They could be an unruly customer. They could just kind of come in and just see if anybody acknowledges them or anything. And then they make a report on what they felt the store looked like, how the staff interacted, how they handled them, and so on. And that's how they built their teams and strengthened their policies. And we thought, wouldn't that be great to do that in the church? It'd be so shocking, I think, for some churches to really know how well or how poorly they're treating people. Let that not be said about Central. Let that not be said about you and your community. Let us be people that embrace and encourage our neighbors. Let us be people that engage and interact with people, even in a time where we need to social distance, we need to social isolate, we need to do all these different things. Find creative ways to stay connected. The human body is not meant to be a lone soldier. We're not meant to be an independent foot looking for a body to connect to. As Paul says here, we're a part of one body. We're meant to be a part of a body. We're no lesser or greater than any other person. No one part has more important part to play. Because if we, if I lopped off my right foot, I would feel that effect. That would affect my entire body. I would spend most of my life looking for a right foot to try to rebalance and to reestablish myself. And there's so many people today looking for a place to connect, looking for a place to belong. And what greater place than here in the church? That's where they should feel the most welcome, the most embraced, the most loved, regardless of how they dress, regardless of what they look like, regardless of how they smell, how clean they are, how unclean they are. I heard a story of a person one time. They went into a very wealthy church, and they weren't dressed very well. They purposely went in with not shaven for a week and unkept, and they went in. They were totally ignored. In fact, they were almost asked to remove themselves because they were an embarrassment to that church. Let that not be said. What did Jesus do? Jesus spent all his time with prostitutes, with drunkards, with all kinds of people. And we have all our illustration, we have all our examples, all our stories, we have all those things all the way through Scripture based around that. Do you think that's an example that we should be following? Do you think that's something that we need to take to heart and find ways to embrace, ways to encourage? It could be challenging. I know I'm challenging sometimes. I don't know about you, but I know there's days that I'm a challenging person to be around. But we need to continue to find ways that we can embrace and encourage one another. Now, I told you I was going to ask for a little bit of commitment. Who is willing to commit to at least over these next 4 weeks? I mean, we're heading into the Christmas season. Yes, I said Christmas. I was visiting a lady last week, and she described her house as Christmas exploded. Right? She just had Christmas stuff everywhere already, and she was just like a little kid going around showing me all these different things. So Christmas is coming, and part of Aubrey having this time to rest is going into the Advent season, and just the time and it just preparing for that as we go into it. And we know that as we come closer to Christmas, more and more people are apt to start visiting churches, aren't they? Right? When we get into these high holidays and these high seasons, people are going to want to start hanging out. I want to encourage us over these next few weeks to commit to meeting at least one person a week over these next few weeks. And if you're just joining us for the first time and you're just starting to hang out with us, I want you to get to know at least four people over the next few weeks. Because I tell you, there's very few churches around that are doing this. They're just hoping that people just walk in the door. They're hoping that they can just sustain themselves. The church has got to a place where it's just kind of a, they're just kind of in this preservation mode. They're not in this growing mode. They're not in this advancing the kingdom mode, which is what we should be about. We shouldn't be so concerned about numbers and all the different things. But as we work on ourselves, we become more of a group that embraces and encourages and loves and supports. Things would begin to automatically grow. Word will begin to get out. And we're right at the center of downtown. We're right in the, we're strategically placed to bring in people. I mean, we all know, those of you who've been around here for a while, you know how full this can get over the holiday season. Wouldn't it be amazing if people just came in and just said, you know what? I really feel loved. I felt connected. I felt supported. I felt encouraged. I felt embraced. I want to hang out here more. And maybe even those that are connecting on YouTube. Right, you're checking it out. You're going, okay, I like what I'm hearing. I like what I'm seeing. I know for my wife and I, when we first landed here a couple years ago, it was an easy decision for us to say, we want to make this home. There was just this sense of presence when we came in here. We loved what we were hearing in terms of the teaching. We met some amazing people at the back door, which encouraged us to come in and meet others inside. Let that be the reputation that Central has. Wouldn't that be a good reputation to have? And we all have a part to play in that. It's not just Aubrey's responsibility. It's not just the worship band's responsibility. It's not Alexander's responsibility. It's not the greeter's responsibility. It's all of us. The hands, the feet, the toes, the knees. It's all of our responsibility. Each one of us has a voice, correct? Put up your hand if you do not have a voice. Right? We all have a voice. And do you know these words? Hi. Everybody knows that word, right? Everybody knows your name, right? You know your own name. So it's really easy to say, hi, I am, and fill in the blank. And then the next line is, you are, and form it in a point, you know, in a question, and wait for the response. Because I guarantee they will know their name, and they will tell you what their name is. And that's the beginning of building community. We have the greatest message in all of history, yet we fail to share it most of the time. Why is that? Largely because we're not taught that that's our responsibility to do. For some of us, as I said earlier, we've just generationally, we've just come to church. Our parents came to church, grandparents came to church, great-grandparents came to church. We're just following the tradition. So we don't even know what it means to act. We just know we're supposed to show up. And often that's all we do, is we just show up. I know I did for the first number of years, and then I went, wait a second, maybe I should be doing something here. I've got a bill, I have a voice, I have some talent, I've got some things. And then I learned that there was things that I needed to do. This lesson really hit home when I was younger, when our children were younger. How many parents have ever sent your children into the room to clean it? And gone in an hour later, and it's the exact same array as it was when they went in. Right? We've all done that. Go clean your room. Okay. Right? What is clean to a child without direction? And it's the same with us in the church. You know, we come into the church, we're told to be good Christians, we're told to be responsible, we're told to build community, we're supposed to love. You know, the church isn't a place, it's the people. We're told all those things, but we're not told how to and what is and how to do all these things. So these are three practical things that we can do to begin to share our faith, encourage others to come in, making them feel welcome. How many of you would revisit a home if you didn't feel welcome? You just wouldn't go. It could be a friend, it could be a neighbor, it could be a relative, but if you went into their home and you didn't feel welcome, you wouldn't stay. Now, how many of us, you know, even engaging in conversation, if we weren't getting much response or much help or much support from the person, would continue to engage in those conversations? We probably wouldn't. Is it any wonder that the church is diminishing, that people aren't feeling attracted? You know, one of the number one reasons why people don't attend church is they don't feel a sense of connection. It's one of the top reasons. The other is just not hearing relevant messages, and another one is just not sensing the presence of God, and just not feeling any different. Not feeling any different coming into a church as they would a public cafe or the public library. But the main one is just not feeling that sense of connection. So I want to encourage us, and I want to encourage you online as you're watching this later, to find ways to connect. More than ever, we need to have that connection with people. And we've got the greatest message. We've got the greatest story to tell. I'm sure even your story is probably amazing. To share how you found faith, what faith means to you. People need a message of hope. And there's no greater message of hope than the gospel, the story of the birth of the Savior, his death and resurrection, what he has done for us. Does that make sense? So now this is the audience participation part. How many are willing to commit over these next few weeks to commit to 1 to 4 people? I won't say one a week. At least commit to meeting one new person or up to 4 new people over the next 4 weeks. How many are willing to commit to such a thing? I got one hand. I got a bunch of hands. I got all kinds of hands all over the place. Absolutely amazing. Now, you know that I had this secretly recorded with this button that's in my jacket. So I've got each one of you on video with your hands up. No, I'm kidding. But what a great place to start. Making people feel welcome. Make them feel at home. Because when they feel at home, they feel at ease, they're going to listen to the message. And I have to say this, and I'm not saying this just because I know Aubrey's going to be listening to this later. He does some amazing teaching. I love how he brings in, explains the Greek and the Hebrew and brings that and makes that relevant, helps us understand the words. Words are so important. As I said, there's 755,000 words in Scripture, but understanding what those words mean and how they're formulated in sentences communicates truth even deeper. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for your presence. Thank you that there's practical things that we can do day in and day out just to extend love. We don't have to share the full gospel story every time we meet someone. Just expressing and sharing and communicating love is the place to start. Lord, cause us to be a people that will reach out and connect with others. Even if it's just a wave and a smile. Even if it's a, hi, how are you, calling them by name. Even if it's connecting with someone that we haven't connected with in a long time. Even if it's just waving to that neighbor that's walking their dog. But actively being aware of our environment, aware of where we are, whether we're here at church, whether at home, in our community, our workplaces, being actively involved. Lord, help us to be the church, not only on Sunday, help us to be the church on Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Help us to continue to be that. Remind us that that's our daily responsibility. We can no sooner take a holiday from being connected to you than we can take a holiday from breathing. We can no sooner take a holiday from loving and extending love and grace to others as we can from just stopping to drink water. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. And we just continue to invite you to fill us, bless us, and encourage us as we go out. We just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.